Can we save the coral? Scientists are fighting to save our corals, but not everyone agrees on what the best solution is.
This year, for the sixth time, the vibrant and incomparable beauty of the Great Barrier Reef turned a ghostly white along a 1,200-kilometer stretch of Australia's coast. Called a mass bleaching, this happens when the water temperature is above average, which is often the case now due to global warming. For the 25% of marine species that call coral reefs home, the climate catastrophe is already coming true. In over-warm water, the corals, which are a form of animal, expel the algae that live within them. It is these algae that feed the coral and give it color. The corals can later recover and reform their symbiotic relationship with the algae, but each time a bleaching event happens, many of them subsequently turn brown, a sign they are dead. People do not realize that most of the extra heat caused by greenhouse gases has so far been absorbed by the oceans. They've also absorbed vast amounts of the CO2 we have pumped into the atmosphere. But when this happens, the CO2 reacts with the water and makes it more acidic. The two combined, increased temperature and acidity, are too much for most corals, and scientists fear that the fragile habitat they support will be the world's first massive ecosystem to collapse and die entirely. Marine scientists have been frantically searching for solutions by focusing on corals that seem to be immune to bleaching. Corals from the Red Sea, for example, seem to be thermally resistant, coping with both acidic waters and water temperatures 7 degrees centigrade hotter than in Australia. One idea is to graft resistant coral strains onto the bleached corals of Australia's 2,300-kilometer-long reef, an enormous project. Other scientists, such as Michael Webster of New York University, believe that might not be necessary, as heat-resistant corals may already be present in the Great Barrier Reef. Take the northern Great Barrier Reef with 3 years of back-to-back bleaching, he says. In some places, 70% of the coral was lost. What that means is 30% of the coral survived, perhaps because it is more tolerant. Those are the corals that produce the next generation, which inherits some of those traits. Optimistic as that is, it doesn't take into account another problem, rising sea levels. Corals are depth-specific and will die if the sea rises significantly. That has caused some scientists to say we should be installing artificial structures to which coral can attach itself and which humans can then keep at the right depth. They are also experimenting with underwater speakers that play the sounds of a normal, healthy coral reef so as to attract fish to such artificial reefs. These tactics sound desperate, but according to climate models, between 70% and 90% of coral reefs will have disappeared by the end of this century. Or maybe not. Coral can adapt, and there are already signs of it reacting to changing circumstances. Corals are migrating toward the poles, appearing in the cooler waters of Japan and southern Australia, for instance. For evolution to occur quickly usually requires a lot of death. That is the natural selection signal, Webster says. I believe a lot of corals are going to get through this. They're not going to go extinct. They're going to figure out a way to pace with climate change so long as we give them some room. Maybe he is right, but can we afford to take the risk that he's not?